The chairman of the board, not Frank Sinatra, but Declan Cahill, unfortunately had to stand by because he had to make way for the president of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins. But that is his jovial laugh in the background. Declan, good morning. Nice to talk to you again.
Good morning. Good morning, Tony. Lovely few words there from the president, weren't they? Really uplifting and something that I know he feels very strongly about. And he has lived it through his political life in terms of supporting women and giving them their rightful place in our society.
Well,
may I compliment, by the way, before I forget it, the previous interview I thought was wonderful with Linda, especially towards the end when she got spoken, this issue of education came up. It really is so important for people, and it's something I feel really very strongly myself, that the way for people to develop, and I never like to say education for jobs. I don't like that at all. I think it's education is for personal development, so it's personal fulfillment. So a person is going to go up as a well-balanced, confident adult, young adult going into adulthood, and all things will stream from that. You know, and this idea of people, she gave a figure there, I wrote it down, 10% of young people in the Darndale area go on to third level. You know, that's quite a frightening figure when you compare it to a more affluent area. So there is an injustice in our society that I know, in all fairness, the system is trying to redress that and address it, but it needs to be tackled even further, you know, because I think it's very, very important.
Well, I suppose the other side of it is, and if I had more time with her, but she's an extremely busy woman because of the day that's in it, Declan, I mean, I would like to compare Darndale with Donnybrook percentage-wise about how many went on to third level and further education. And I suppose on the same topic, I came from a generation, and I presume you won't be offended when I say it, it's probably the one behind your generation, and sort of when you finished the last exam in the Leaving Cert, that was it. The books were put away and never again to be looked at in that time. But that has totally changed as the years have rolled by.
Absolutely. I mean, I come from a generation where the Leaving Cert, by the way, I've always hated that term, Leaving Cert. It suggests something, doesn't it? It refers to leaving secondary education, but in some people's minds it was a finality, as you've alluded to. But I come from a generation where going to secondary school was a big thing because an awful lot of young people did not go to secondary education. So, I mean, the country has evolved enormously in that regard. There's another problem, which I can't go into now, Tony, but an awful lot of young people are going to third level education, in my opinion, for the wrong reasons, you know, that they're going there because it's a social sort of a thing and they're not, maybe not ready or they're not suited or whatever. You know, not everybody should be going to third level, you know, but the idea of a third level education doesn't necessarily mean college or university. There's a whole plethora of educational outlooks or opportunities for people. What we're talking about is developing the individual to be a better person, to be a more balanced person. And that could be, I mean, the opportunities for education today are enormous compared to what they were, say, 50 years ago.
Well, I can quote a person, one very close to me, Declan, my eldest young fella, left after his Leaving Cert and kind of tricked around with the idea, I'd say, of going into a trade vis-a-vis mechanic. But he went on. I mean, he had his driving license before he left school, believe it or not. So that was the interest he had in it. And he has progressed on now, bar a helicopter or an aeroplane or a ship or a train, I think he has a license to drive anything that's on the road now. And you know what I mean? Like, as he will tell you, like, he just throws his eyes to heaven. He says, I spend more time now studying than I did when I was in school because it's constant development. Change of regulations, the whole thing. I mean, he's one of these guys that you see the whole of the city brought to a standstill, and this thing that goes on for about 10 minutes driving by with under Garda escort. There's only a couple of people in the country with licenses for those, you know, and he's one of them. So, I mean, in something like that, you know, that's constant development. And correct. like you quite rightly said, Declan, that's what put him in mind when you mentioned about university is not for everybody. A university doctorate isn't much good to your good wife if she's at home and the washing machine springs a leak or the fuse board starts blowing trip switches. And, you know, there is an awful lot of young people, and I'm a huge, huge advocate, Declan, and I have been on several interviews here that I've done over the years of people not turning their noses up at the trades, because once you have a trade, you'll always have a living.
Oh, absolutely. That's the point I'm making, that education, I think, because that's why the bracket of education encompasses a lot of things. But but in general, the idea that, you know, I remember I've been on a number of boards of management and schools and so on. I've always been interested in education. I'm still on one, in fact. But I remember about this 40 years ago, there was some work being done internationally, and they were saying that the single biggest influencer on a child's attitude to education is the parent's attitude to education. So in other words, if a father says to a young fellow, "I don't bother with that school," you know what I mean? That's going to impact on a child. That's why the work that's been done in Darndale in preparing children for school is so, so vital, you know. So I know we're digressing a bit, Donny, but it is still relevant. So everything we do concerns about the development of society, I guess.
Well, watch me bring it right round now with a nice little segue. If I was to say to you 12 months ago, tell me all you can about Zoom, I'd say now it'd be like a duck looking into a bottle, and look at the way you have educated yourself in the meantime. Well, and the topic of conversation, the Riverside Drama Group are all well versed in Zoom. Tell me about it, Declan, because I can't wait to hear how this is going to work.
I tell you, the analogy of the duck looking into a bottle, I think still is relevant to me anyway, you know. But yes, Riverside Drama Circle, we've been on the go now a long, long, long time, nearly 50 years in North Dublin area. We've members all over the place now. But we were doing a play, preparing for a play to be done in last April in Sean O'Casey Theatre. And when March arrived, we said, look, we'll postpone it. But looking at the figures at that time, we said, geez, you know, this doesn't look good. So we said, what the hell are we going to do? So one of our members, Kevin Jones, who's our PRO, is big into technology and is very interested in it. So he looked into this idea of keeping in touch with members was a big issue for us. The committee, we looked at it and said, how are we going to keep it together? So he suggested we sign up, and we took out a package with Zoom. I had no idea what it meant. Zoom to me was something that you would do it on a camera or something like that, you know. So I didn't have a clue. My daughter installed it for me and showed me what to do. And we started off just having a meeting, just chatting to each other. Then we organised a concert for our members, and we broadened it out to family members. That was very rough and ready, but it showed the potential. Then we did a play on Zoom, would you believe, which was a stage play originally, written by a local playwright, Dennis Byrne. And then he adapted that for radio, and we in turn adapted that for Zoom. And then we went on and we did a Christmas show.
Can I just stop you there now? Just in relation to that, and I let you go back full steam then.
No problem. No.
When you were doing that, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind, and like I'm getting the mental images here in the head as you're talking. So, I mean, am I looking, if I tune in, am I looking at a bank of screens with just everybody reading their parts? Because I'm thinking of costume, I'm thinking of set design and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's utterly different. I mean, the first play we did was literally a radio play where you could see nobody. You literally, people listened, like listening to the radio. We did a play over Zoom. For people, and that it worked very well. You know, we had over 100 people listening into it. You know, so that was very successful. So, in terms of the actual presentation, I suppose the best way to give it is that the one we're doing at the moment, which is on the end of this month, on Thursday, the 25th of March, it's a new play. written by a member of the group. During the lockdown, we encouraged people to start writing. And two things evolved. One was an actual play called Zooming Brilliant by Tom Blake, one of our members, who's always had an inkling to do a bit of scribbling. So we encouraged Tom to go off, and he did a play. We did a few readings. And basically, the play is about a Zoom meeting of a community centre. So you'll see the various characters. They're normally people, so costume is not a big issue, and they're all the backdrop are people's living rooms or their box rooms or whatever. So it's a very real life situation, and it's basically the play is dealing with people who don't are not familiar with the technology, and the screen is pointing up to the sky, and the sound breaks down, and you have a mother giving out to the children and not realizing the sound is on and all that, you know. So it's a comedy. It's on for about 35 minutes. In case I forget, if people want to book it, it's a free ticket. Great value here.
Oh, don't worry. I wasn't going to let you forget that part at all.
Yeah. No, but you have to book it. You have to book to get the link for it. And basically what you do is you send an email to info@riversidedrama.ie. info@riversidedrama.ie, or PRO, who I mentioned there, Kevin Jones, will then contact you back to say you have a seat, so to speak, and you'll get the link in due course. So
and that's info@riversidedrama.ie. info@riversidedrama.ie. And the reason I repeat it a couple of times, Declan, and before I finish our little chat this morning, we'll repeat it again, because I know that we had a listener rang in last Monday or Tuesday, and they missed a phone number or an email address like that, so they wanted it given out again. But I will remind people that all the interviews that we conduct here on Northside Today, or the very vast majority of them anyway, are up on our Listen Again website. So if you miss you can get them, all the details there again. So in other words, if I can get this now right, this is a Zoom play designed around a Zoom meeting that goes totally bonkers. Yeah. What a simple and brilliant idea at the same time.
I mean, this is where writing comes in, and it's where, I suppose, it does link back to education also, Tom, this idea of, I remember somebody telling me at school, long, I did my leaving cert in 1966, when I tell young people that, their eyes glaze over. They don't even know. It's 1966. But I remember.
Can I tell you that in 1966 I was 4 years old, so that puts it in perspective.
Exactly. So I remember a teacher at that stage, you know, my daughter's a teacher, and I always say full of students when they were studying, you know, I was saying, the impact that you're going to have on children is immense. Never underestimate it. But I remember a teacher saying to me about education. He said, education is unfettering your mind. In other words, taking any shackles or preconceived ideas, having an open mind. And I suppose drama and writing and so on, you know, this man who said, you know, I can never do this, when we encourage him, he's come up with this. You said it's very simple. Yeah, but somebody has to do it. You know what I mean? So it's basically a reflection, I suppose, of life that many people go through at the moment in a non-professional way. Now, the other thing I want to say, Don, is that we have a particular grow for people who are living on their own. And we would love them to book a ticket, because loneliness is an issue. Now, some people are very good at dealing with the situation, but the latest lockdown, I know from people and from ourselves that people are struggling that bit more. So we want to bring a bit of joy in people's world, to have a bit of a laugh. It's only about 35 minutes, 7:30. It won't interfere with your television or anything like that. But it's just something that we want to give back to our community, because we feel very strongly that we have wonderful supporters who have come to our plays over the years. We normally do a full-length play in April, and then we do two one-act plays, pub theatre, down in Avon Oaks GA Club in November. That's basically our season.
And and hopefully November will come to pass and everything will work out.
Yeah. And in fact, another member of the group, John Barrett, has written the play that we did over Zoom for the group, and we did a few iterations of it. And that hopefully will be performed as a stage play in the autumn. You know, so it's great to see people stepping forward. I mean, it's very brave, you know, for people to stand before their peers and to show some of their output. I think it's very brave anyway, you know. So there's two things that have come out of the lockdown. And I know the other people in the group, there's a girl in the group, Roisin McCannon, who's a singer, beautiful singer, and she's written a song. Another girl, Frances Keogh, has written some nice poetry. So, you know, we're trying to encourage people to express themselves. We do it through drama, through performance. We're also trying to encourage people to writing and so on. And also, you know, people, for a performance to work, you have to have an audience. So we regard our audiences as absolutely critical to what we do. But, you know, obviously we don't suffer ourselves, but we're also doing it for other people who may not go to conventional theatre for various reasons, you know. So we love reaching out to people. And, I mean, I remember doing a play a couple of years ago, and this lady came up to me. Now, the play we did had a sort of... there was some of it a little bit risque, right? It was innocent enough. But anyway, this woman came up to me. I was directing it, and I said, oh, jeepers, I said, this lady is going to give out to me. She was very stern, came up to me, and I said, took a deep breath. I said, right, Dick, now deal with this. And she said, I need to talk to you. Right? You're the director. I am, I said. She said, I want to thank you for taking my worries away for 2.5 hours. The woman had cancer. Very ill. She went to the play. She didn't want to go to the play. Her friend brought her, and it took her out of herself. So she went off smiling in the situation. So that to us, that's the big thank you we get when we can impact on somebody in that situation. That seems to be very small, but to us that's vital, Donnie. And that's why community and helping community and reaching out to people, I know that phrase is a bit of a cliche, you know, but making an effort to contact with people and connect with people is very important for us. And another piece of information, Donnie, that just let you know, your listeners, the play we did last year called Thin Ice, it was actually about domestic abuse, or implied it, you know, it wasn't that physical, but we're talking about International Women's Day, so it's relevant where we're standing up and to write to try address the wrongs. But that play was accepted into a drama festival run by the Clare Drama Festival. They normally do a stage festival. If they couldn't do it, they said they do it on radio, and they've linked up with Scariff FM, another community radio station in East Clare, and the plays are going out on Saturday and Sunday nights, and our play called Thin Ice is on Saturday. It's the last play on the programme, Saturday the 3rd of April. So it's the first time we've done we've got involved in a festival like this, so it's great to see something that another community radio is involved in drama also. So just
I am well versed in that topic, young man, because, as you know, for my sins, I edit and produce the news desk for all the community radio stations around the country. And that item on Scariff BFM and their drama series and their judging and the whole lot. I think the final judging is on Easter Sunday. Yeah. That is included, I think, in this week's edition of News.
Go away. It's nice to see that things happening on community radio, like our good selves here with Near FM. I'm biased, but I think it does wonderful work below the surface in many cases. But anyway, getting back to our Zoom play, Donny, we need a bit of laughter. We need a bit of smiling in people. So we want to try to get people to have a laugh and a smile. And that's what we're trying to do with this play called Zooming Brilliant, written by Tom Blake, on the Thursday, 25th of March at 7:30.
For those interested in getting those hot tickets, Declan, how do they go about it again?
All you have to do is email our PRO, Kevin Jones. It's very simple. info at Riverside Drama, one word, RiverSideDrama, riversidedrama.ie. So info at riversidedrama.ie, and our PRO, Kevin Jones, will be in contact with them. Now, by the way, what we also know that some people have got families and they've sat together as a sort of a family occasion, and they've listened into things. You know, the Christmas show we had had poetry and song and so on, and we had 120 Lynx, so but we had much more people than the Lynx themselves, because we know that 3 or 4 people listened in. So it's an opportunity for people to do something maybe slightly different. And you will actually see the characters performing their pieces. By the way, Donny, I played the part of a priest. A bit dodgy in many ways, but you can just imagine me now in my car, can't you, Donny?
Dermot Morgan comes to mind. I remember Father Trindy, the forerunner of Father Ted, if you remember rightly.
Oh, God almighty. Anyway, if the silence there, Donny, was very, very off-putting with you.
I had to choose my words carefully, because I'm always cognizant when I'm speaking to you that I am speaking to the chairman of the board.
I know, come on.
Declan, it's been a pleasure. The clock has beaten us, and that is something to look forward to. And can I say on behalf of the listeners, and indeed everybody here, well done for keeping it going in such trying times. It's not easy, but once again, ingenuity. As the old Cork saying used to go years ago, Declan, patience and perseverance got us nailed to Jerusalem.
Actually, would you believe this now? My mother-in-law, God be good to her, used to use a similar phrase in Tipperary, in Newport in Tipperary. God be good to her. Brings back nice memories. Lovely woman.
There you
anyway,
go.
Anyway, Johnny, listen, keep up the good work, and keep broadcasting, and I wish you well.
We will keep the sunny side out, as the song goes. Declan, thank you so much, and it's been a pleasure.
God bless you. Bye.
Slán a cara, slán.